You're listening to a Best Wilson Buckley podcast.
Hello and welcome to BWB Podcasts. My name is Max and today I'm joined by my friend and colleague, Joe Maloney. How are you, Joe? Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Max. Thanks for having me. I'm very well, thank you.
Joe comes with a background of wills and estates planning and has for the past 2.5 years been working in family law. Joe, how has that been working coming from that background?
Look, it's been really interesting. Obviously, I had never worked in family law before coming to Best Wilson Buckley Family Law. It's definitely a very different dynamic working with family law clients than just, you know, a general mix of clients. Certainly from an estate planning perspective, it's really interesting because there's a lot of issues that come up sort of time and time again that our clients need to consider from an estate planning perspective.
So my understanding is that you are still doing the wills and estates planning, but you also run family law files. So maybe if we condense it to three key themes that run between the two, if you're looking at, if someone comes to you and says, look, I'd like to update my will, or I need an enduring power of attorney, and there is a family law matter underway, what those three themes are?
Yeah, sure. So there's a couple of different things that will be relevant, and it depends on whether, it very much depends on whether there's children or not, or whether we just have a property matter on foot. So where we're dealing just with, you know, an everyday separation and we're looking at property settlement, my recommendation to people is always that we look at updating their estate planning quite quickly. It's something that a lot of people are quite resistant to for a lot of different reasons, all of which I totally understand. Often when they're coming to us in the family law space initially, obviously there's a lot of emotion going on.
Absolutely.
And they're not quite ready to, in addition to dealing with the fact that their whole life has just been shifted and they're separated, then have me sit there and say, okay, well, let's now plan for what's going to happen when you die. You know, like it's, you know, I often have to say to my clients, look, I appreciate that I'm a really uplifting person to talk to, because we do have to talk about really, really difficult things. And sometimes people aren't quite ready for that at the start. The reason that I encourage them to think about it is because there's a few estate planning issues that are really important to address early that people don't necessarily think about. So one of the main ones is, Who are we going to give control of the estate to? The reason, from my perspective, that it's really important to look at that early on in the matter is that, you know, people are putting a lot of effort, a lot of emotion, and a lot of stress into their family law matter. And if, and it is a very remote, hopefully, possibility for most people, but if something were to happen to them where they were either to die or lose capacity while they're in the middle of their family law matter, if they already have a will that passes over control to their former spouse, then that's just not a situation that anyone wants to be in. So from that perspective, it's important to update that aspect of the estate planning to make sure that control of our affairs isn't going back to the very person that we're trying to disentangle ourselves from in that way. Another thing that's really relevant to people in that same vein when it comes to property settlement is making sure that we don't already have a will in place that hasn't been revoked because we're not divorced yet, that gives all our belongings back to the other party, again, where we're in the process of trying to extract ourselves from that relationship in a financial sense. So, you know, if something were to happen to us while we're in the middle of that process and we have a will that's giving it all back to them anyway, it just doesn't make any sense. And when people stop and think about it, that's absolutely not what they would want. So it's just a really important thing to have a think about at the start. In terms of the control issue, the other thing that's really close to a lot of my clients' hearts is who gets that control when there's kids involved. Mm. So if we have children who are under the age of 18 and we have a client making a will and something were to happen to the client and they either were to pass away or lose capacity, it's really important for us to know and to understand who they would want to look after money for those children until the kids are old enough to look after it for themselves. Again, unfortunately, for a whole range of different reasons, a lot of the clients that sit down with me will say, well, I don't want that to be the other parent for a range of reasons. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they say, oh, no, you know, Max is a great dad. He'll look after the money for the kids. But for a lot of our clients, there's trust issues.
Mm.
Sometimes there's, been issues with financial control or financial abuse. Sometimes there might be drug or alcohol-related issues or real problems with looking after money. So the last thing they want is for that person to be looking after money for their children when, the whole idea of having money in an estate for minor children is for it, A, to be able to look after them while they're little and pay for their maintenance, education and support, but then also to hopefully have something there for them when they do come of age and are able to take control of it for themselves. So that's a really important issue that we look at as well. Finally, and again, certainly this is an issue that I have dealt with a lot more here in the family law space than ever before, where I was just in a general practice of estate planning, is the question of guardianship of minor children. So again, a lot of times a client will sit with me and of course say, well, the best thing for my children, if I'm out of the picture, then their mother or father, you know, are the appropriate person to look after them. And certainly from a legal perspective, our legislation here in Queensland kind of has a presumption in it that the biological parent of the child, the other biological parent of the child in the event of one's death, will look after the children from there on. Unfortunately, in our space, in this family law space, there are often some concerns around that. And our clients can have some really real concerns as to whether or not that would actually be appropriate or in the children's best interests to be in that situation where they have to return to the other parent on a full-time basis. So I often find that I'm talking to clients about those issues and, you know, are there real reasons for concern and how can we go about documenting the concerns so that they can be used in any future application to the family court to, I guess, get around that presumption that the kids are going to be better off with the other parent.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to recap, there is when someone looks at planning their estate, they're ultimately looking at putting together a will. That's to, I guess, document what their intentions are should they pass away, an enduring power of attorney. Can you explain to me what an enduring power of attorney might be and how that might affect it, everything in a family law context?
Yeah, sure. So the enduring power of attorney is the document that essentially sets out who will look after us and our affairs if we lose capacity for whatever reason. And obviously, you know, when I was working in a general practice and typically my clients were older, you're using examples like, you know, a loss of capacity might be dementia or, you know, just those old age kind of concerns and illnesses. In our space, I guess it's it's a lot harder for some of our clients who, a lot of them are very young and they're not ready to be contemplating those kinds of conditions. You're looking more at, you know, accidents and things like that, that might, or, you know, sudden unexpected illnesses that might cause some kind of incapacity. The enduring power of attorney allows us to appoint someone to look after our financial matters if we lose capacity. So that can be everything from stepping in and finishing off a family law matter. So again, that's a really important document to have, giving someone the authority to actually do that if there's court proceedings on foot, to operating our bank accounts, to dealing with those fabulous organisations like Telstra who won't talk to you. They won't talk to anybody if there's no authority. So, you know, in a practical sense, the enduring power of attorney is a really helpful document to have if someone loses capacity, because it is that formal authority to deal with your mobile, your electricity, all of those sorts of things. The other type of decisions that you're appointing someone to make in your enduring power of attorney is your personal and health matters. So that can be everything from, you know, you're in hospital, you're in a coma, and the doctors need to talk to someone and who has authority to make decisions for you. To longer health decision, longer term health decisions. So if it's an ongoing or permanent incapacity, there's all sorts of decisions that need to be made, like, you know, where are you going to live? What's your day-to-day care look like? Who are your carers going to be? So in the family law space, again, no one wants that to be their ex.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's one of the first things that you look for when you meet with someone. Do you have an enduring power of attorney? Who is the person you've appointed as that attorney? Do we need to change that? Especially if it's an acrimonious property settlement matter, isn't it?
Absolutely. And particularly, I guess, the other thing to look at is, when does the power, if there is a power of attorney in place, when does the power commence? What does the document actually say? Because some of them will say that the other person, that the attorney has immediate authority. So again, that's a situation we wouldn't want to see any of our family law clients in, where someone else, particularly their ex, has any sort of control over their finances or anything like that in an immediate sense. Often you'll find an enduring power of attorney is drafted to say that the power won't commence until the principal, the person making the power of attorney, has lost capacity. So it's not as urgent, but still you just don't want that situation to arise of them losing capacity and the wrong people being appointed.
So really, again, to recap, it's a situation where we might meet with someone, they've just recently separated, whether they were in a de facto relationship or they're still married. And in most instances, the advice is, look, let's look at what's happening with your estate. But what if that person who comes to us is someone who is still married, they're not yet divorced, or they have just divorced and they're looking at repartnering. What is usually something that you say to that person as to the estate they might be wishing to plan?
Okay, so if they've come to us and they're separated, still married and not divorced, then I have a very serious conversation with them about needing to make some changes if they're ready to do so at that point in time, because regardless of whether they have a will or not, it's very likely in that scenario that control and potentially the estate itself is going to go where we don't want it to go, which is back to that other partner. In terms of repartnering, there's a whole range of other issues that need to be considered. And it's always, those are always really interesting conversations to have, because, you know, I guess, again, you know, I'm only dealing with people in this family law space these days. So typically we've either just finished off a family law matter for them. So they are burnt, they're tired, they're hurt. And even though they might be in a new relationship, that they're really excited about or is going well, there is, I usually see a real hesitance in them and a reluctance and a, you know, a real need to protect themselves into the future, and particularly to protect kids. So, you know, there's a whole range of issues that need to be looked at when it comes to repartnering. Does the new partner have children from a previous relationship? Do we have children from a previous relationship? And what's all of that going to look like? And a lot of that can depend on, you know, how long that relationship's been on foot and how the client's feeling about it, I guess, but also what might actually be in the estate. So that's a really important part of my job that I sort of haven't touched on yet, is the same way that we do in family law matters where, you know, first step, what's in the pool? It's kind of the same deal with estates. It's, okay, well, what are we actually, if something had happened to you yesterday, what are we even dealing with? What are the assets that we've got? What are the debts that need to be paid off? And how are we going to achieve that? And so those are always important questions, but particularly when it comes to someone who's repartnering, it's a question of, okay, well, what are we dealing with? What do you want to go to whom, and how do we achieve that in a way that's fair and in a way that's taking into account the new partner and our obligation, I guess, from a succession planning point of view, to take care of that new partner while also making sure that we are making adequate provision for our own children as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, Joe, that's all we have time for today. And I thank you very much for coming down, having a chat with me. It's been very insightful. And to our viewers, thank you very much for listening once again. If anything that has been spoken about today has piqued your interest, then feel free to contact us. Our website is bwbfamilylaw.com.au. You can also flick us an email on info@bwbfl.com.au, or alternatively, call one of our experienced family lawyers on 07463900000. And if you're so inclined, we're on the socials, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook.
Thank you for listening. You can find more information at www.bwbfamilylaw.com.au.